Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Recover Your Assets. Jim joins us on a Tuesday morning. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and we love to have him in. We remind you that when Jim and I give our opinions, they're our opinions. They're not necessarily anybody else's. They're ours, and we're damn proud of them. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
How are you?
I appreciate any and all opinions, as long as they're not too violent.
That's right.
Anyhow, just a quick thing before we get into the main topics. Apparently, and this is just reading from the screen, after a judge in Florida basically said the airlines don't have to demand masks of their passengers, the U.S. apparently is going along with that. Hard to believe as the this latest virus is picking up steam in various parts of this country, and definitely in Europe and incredibly in China. And just, this is not a health advisory, this is just a personal opinion. We've been warned that this pandemic, or whatever it is, the latest problem is going to rear its head, or is rearing its head. So I really caution you to stay with your mask, stay with your social distancing, and just take care of yourself. I'm particularly touched by this because my son, who's out visiting my daughter in the Midwest, he came back, he's a healthy guy. I mean, I should still be that healthy. But anyhow, he got the COVID, and he had all of the boosters and all of that, always his exercise and this, that, and the other thing. But please be sensitive. Please stay with, this is my personal opinion, where you were in terms of your masking and so forth. This thing is not over. And nobody knows when it's going to be over, including the government. So take care of yourself. That said, we have another thing that happens to be front and center, which is quite flashing right now. The Lavrov of Russia is saying that they will only use conventional weapons in Ukraine. Lots of luck trusting what the Russians say, but I'm just reading from the screen. Bottom line, let's get to our overall problem in Ukraine and with the human race, namely some portions of the human race forgetting about how important life is and killing people indiscriminately. The thing in Ukraine really calls to mind something that most of us I've read it several times over the last year or so, from Madeleine Albright, who was a distinguished Secretary of State, who came from Europe and who had the experience of the Second World War and what it did to our country and family. And she cited several times, I wish I could quote it very accurately. I couldn't find it. I found all kinds of quotes. But it's basically that, you know, eventually the buck has got to stop. Eventually somebody's got to stand up and say, enough. We've had enough, and if you don't stop, we're going to give you enough. And I honestly believe that's where we are with Ukraine. And hopefully, I believe it's time for Joe Biden to step up. And I know, of course, I've had conversations with people, the Third World War, Well, are we going to watch the human race be destroyed country by country? First it's Ukraine, then is it Poland, and where else do we go? So I'm not constructing anything major. I'm just saying, as individuals, I think we should really figure out, do we want to live in a world where we are oppressed, at least mentally, by a country that threatens to basically slaughter other human beings. And that's Russia slaughtering Ukrainians, slaughtering children, shooting teenagers in the back of the head while their mom watches. I don't think so. I don't. I have three kids. I've got three grandkids. And I want them to live in peace. I want them to live safely. But I tell you right now, if Harry Truman hadn't stepped up with the Japanese in the Second World War and used the atomic bomb for the first time in Nagasaki and another city which escapes me right now, then God knows what the Japanese would have done in that area of Asia. So, you know, tighten your belt, pull up your boots, but Joe Biden's got to do something here. And sending in the planes is a first step in concert with the fact of telling Russia, we're calling your bluff. You know, you want to lose millions? We got the resources to do it. I really hate to be expressing this, but, you know, folks, this is humanity now. This is not a sitcom or a movie or somebody making up a story. So, most importantly, peace be still, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst, and be prepared to have to step up as Americans to do what we've always done since I've been alive in terms of maintaining as much peace and democracy as we could throughout the world. NATO has been formed, for your information, or you probably all know it, because of the Second World War. You know, we didn't want someone like Hitler to rise again without most other countries saying, no, you shouldn't do that. Well, we've basically been excusing Russia, be it Syria or Aleppo, with destroying human beings. And, you know, they just keep doing it. So we've got to do something to stop them. End of story.
You know, we sit here and we look at what's going on in Ukraine, which is basically a breadbasket for most of Europe, if not the world. They put out just an amazing amount of important food that has been interrupted. Then we look in Shanghai, where 21 million people for a month have been under lockdown and not be able to leave their homes. Shanghai, by the way, is one of the biggest shipping ports in the world. It's been closed for a month. So what you know about shipping is that if you close the ports for a month, the effect on world shipping will last for close to a year because all those ships are backed up and they've got no place to go. So right now the world's in a very precarious position, Jim.
You're absolutely correct. And back to Ukraine for a second, but staying with your international theme, Ukraine is one of the breadbaskets for wheat provided to many countries throughout the world. And if their shipping gets cut off, and that's probably in the process of being cut off, then X amount of grain will not flow to the rest of the world, exacerbating the problems that you've just mentioned. This is crisis time. You have to look at a globe. God, I can't remember the last time I looked at an actual globe, you know, when you were in school. If you look at that globe, you'll find that this world is all interrelated. We've got crops in Ukraine. We've got fruits in Mexico and elsewhere. And on it goes. We are finding in this country that we are really not self-sufficient when it comes to gasoline or oil equaling gasoline. Part of that is, the energy companies taking a little extra bite out of the apple in terms of profit margin. But the point is, nobody is really self-sufficient. We are a world. And when the world gets moved to the side, out of step, not in concert with what's going on, everybody in various ways suffers as Marshall has just pointed out, in terms of the shipping lanes. Now, the next thing that might happen, and it should happen right now, it will happen, I do believe, is when the Europeans cut off their oil supply, their fossil fuel supply, from Russia. That will cost Russia $1 billion a day. Hello? $1 billion a day. That will devastate their economy. Maybe the only way this is going to happen, the end of this thing, is for the Russian people to say, gee, I'm realizing now those 500 to 800 sailors, they're never coming home. They're at the bottom of the sea, and the Russian government is not telling us the truth. Maybe that's it. I hope the Russian people do it as peacefully as they can, but somebody has got to take some action here to get us back to that globe where we're together, working together, the way we've been blessed with various resources.
That's never going to happen with Russia for many years. Even if Vladimir Putin were to retire and go away, or if he were to pass away, the damage for Russia has been substantial on the world stage. And it's going to take them, one of the problems Russia felt going into this is that they felt they were being isolated by the world. Well, they just completed the isolation. They felt that NATO, they could stop NATO. Well, they just made NATO stronger. They tried to break up the European Union. Well, they made the European Union stronger. Every goal that they had, they've lost. The only goal that they're really getting right now is control of that that far, far, far eastern section of Ukraine, which they've held now in that region that war has been going on for 8 years. So everything that they tried to do with Ukraine has backfired, and worse than that, it's backfired to the extent around the world. And it's going to be very interesting to see when Russia is going to be able to get back into the fold again in general in the world, not with just five or six countries.
Well, everything you just said is extremely accurate. Putin really misjudged people of the world who want freedom rather than being subservient. I would hope that there would be, if there's anything such as a peaceful revolution in Russia, but somehow the information has really got to get to the Russian people to understand that they cannot live under an authoritarian type government. It doesn't work for them. It seems nice, we're strong, and so forth, but Russians generally are pretty impoverished in terms of their economy, in terms of their foodstuffs. And maybe this is a wake-up call for the people. In terms of Russia, unless there is a dramatic change, and that would take years, actually, a dramatic change in the way Russia behaves, they will never be trusted again. How can you go in and slaughter children, women, innocent people, bomb them indiscriminately without being held accountable? And that will take years to repair. And frankly, we should empathize with the Russian populace, which has been ignorant of a lot of this stuff, because they are going to suffer. It's not the oligarchs. They might lose a ship or two, but it's the people. And so, therefore, I think we should all hold, as best we can, good thoughts for the Russian people, as well as those of the Ukraine, as hopefully we get our globe back together.
Well, here's one more strike against Russia. The brigade, which was accused of committing war crimes in the town of Vuka, has been awarded an honorary title by Vladimir Putin. Troops in the 64th Guards Motor Unit Brigade were named by the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense as the ones that created those atrocities. And what happens? They get an award of merit from Putin. Once again, it's just icing on the cake, and it shows that man's inhumanity to man is not going anywhere soon. So it's just pretty amazing.
obviously, Putin must go, not just for the crimes that he has committed, and they are crimes against humanity, but the man is out of balance. And you know, you work for the KGB, which was where he began his career. There's a certain evilness about that, the way you deal with human beings. And that's only grown as time has gone by. And it's not just Ukraine, it's Syria, where they use chemical weapons, the Russians, against those people. You know, everybody falls eventually. That's how life is. And hopefully he leaves the stage sooner than later. But he must go. It's not a question of negotiating. You know, as Albright said in one of her quotes, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, you know, enough already. You know, you can lie to me once and you can lie to me twice, but don't try it another time. And we're long, long over that. And as Americans, we've got to stand up. We've gone through so many things. We've lost so many young men and women over the years. We really have to stand up for what is so good about this country, the freedom that we have in so many different ways. You can't even count them versus any autocracy or dictatorship.
I want to switch over to the economy here and something that I expected to happen a long time ago. The Secret Service has seized more than $102 million in crypto assets, and it's not on the open market of crypto, but they did it with people who are involved in a major crime. And I was just speaking earlier about cryptocurrencies. What people don't realize is they're not regulated. That's one of the advantages some people find in it. Nobody can get in there. No government can get in there. It takes something like this where you're investigating, let's say, a crime outfit. Then you can act. But cryptocurrencies, Jim, sooner or later, the governments around the world are going to have to come to some sort of agreement on this to protect the investor.
You and I have pointed this out on previous shows that the crypto is not regulated, as are the securities markets, stocks, commodities, bonds. There's regulations and oversight by the federal government. Crypto doesn't have that. The net result, as we also pointed out, it was an opportunity for criminals, et cetera, oligarchs, to launder money. And that still is the case. The SEC has been kind of slow walking what they should eventually do, which is in this country, for instance, if you want to invest in crypto, fine. You're going to find out that there are all kinds of regulations, as there are with stocks and bonds and so forth. So you're not going to be able to launder. That, I think, is a pretty significant portion of crypto. You can look at some South American countries, for instance. One of them, I can't remember the name, making it their currency. I mean, you know, that's an earthquake ready to happen. Bottom line, we warned about crypto many, many times, be it at 25 or 65. It's now back to around 40. If you own it, I don't know how you own it. You know, the thing can jump up or down, but it's not for the average person. If you think it's a game, like Monopoly or something else, is not a game. I guess it was 45,000 earlier in the week. It's now 40,000. We spoke months ago, it was 65,000. Now it's 40,000. This is not an investment. You know, if you want to have some fun, if you want to speculate, you know, go to a nice place like Vegas and all the shows and spend a few bucks and away you go.
All right. Well, we only have about a minute left, Jim.
You know, I'm really trying hard to get into baseball. I don't know what it is about me.
Well, the Mets are playing good.
Pardon me?
The Mets are playing good.
Yeah. It's not that. There's something else. I'll get over it. I'll get over it. I really have not been able to get back into it yet. And I will get back into it. After making this comment, I'm going to work at it. I'm going to really work at it. If the Mets are playing good, I got to get back in.
And the Yankees are 5-5.
Anyhow, what new?
All right, Jim, I want you to have a good week.
God bless you all.
All right.
Peace be still.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, a reminder, all opinions expressed on Cover Your Assets, those are the people that give them, do not necessarily represent the opinions of anybody who is employed by Tri-State Public Communications or Robin Hood Radio or the Bargain Barn or at CATV6. They are the opinions of the person who gives them. All right? All right.